Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black dude, out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, Jake Cat Morris. It's May 2nd, 2018. So, yeah, I got a few things to go into tonight. First things first, I did the Spartan Beast on Saturday. This is my fourth time doing the Spartan Beast. This will be my fourth year in a row, providing nothing crazy happens. Fourth year in a row doing a Spartan trifecta. I hit two-thirds of the trifecta in 2 weeks. So I hit the sprint, a week later hit the beast, and now I got the one in the middle, which is the Super Spartan, which is in Palmerton, which is like the Poconos area. And I do that one in July. And actually, the week after that, I do Tough Mudder. So it'll be another, action-packed 2 weeks. I did really well in the Spartan Beast. Let me see. I just had it up on my screen and I lost it because I didn't look at my phone for long enough. All right. I finished in 5 hours and 8 minutes, 39 seconds, which is way, way faster than the past years. I'm not going to, pretend like, all right, well, I'm just an hour and a half faster than I was the year before, because the year before it took me 6.5 hours. The year before that, it took me probably about 7.5 hours. I don't know if it was quite 7.5, but I do remember it was 7 and change. I got to say that they've made it, I hate to use the word easy at any, stretch of the imagination for a tough mudder or, definitely the Spartan races, but they definitely pumped their brakes a little bit on what they were doing. Elevation change was like such a huge, huge thing with the past Spartan races. I don't know what their failure rate was. It had to have been really high, people just giving up because, Yeah, I've been in good shape for a while. And the thing is, you know, and I'm not like a prolific runner. I'm not, you know, fantastic at running or hiking or any of that stuff. And really, that's what you kind of need for this stuff. I'm pretty good obstacle wise. I crush most obstacles. But yeah, this is in the past, it was like, you know, it's on, for the most part, they rent out like ski mountains, and you're walking up where people ski down, you know, like, you know, the stuff that they have, the chairs going up, yeah, the lifts, well, you're fucking walking up the hill beneath those chairs, you know, the same thing that people wouldn't want to walk up, that's what you're walking up for the most time. And in the past, I mean, the hills were so, so steep that it was just like, fucking shit. I did not feel that way about this year. There were a couple steep hills. I mean, make no mistake about it. We were up and down a mountain for 13 miles. But, you know, it's a big difference if you say, all right, we're going to walk pretty much straight up, come halfway down about that elevation, then another straight up, then all the way down, then back straight up, you know what I mean? So if you do that for a couple miles, like, you know, it'll burn your legs up really, really quick. So yeah, but I was really happy with it, you know, with my time and everything else. So with that 5-hour time, I came in 584 out of 3,926. So yeah, I mean, I'll take that shit. I'm faster than over 3,000 motherfuckers. Take it. In males, I was 503 out of 2,680. And in my age group, which is now 40 to 44, I was number 82 out of 369. So, look, I can't complain with that. I was very happy. You know, the one thing that's so... it fucking just smacks you in the face while you're doing these beast races, because they have something called an ultra beast, which I'm not really sure exactly how you train for that shit. It's just crazy. I mean, you know, it was only a handful of years ago that I started doing this shit overall. So when it comes to an ultra beast, that's actually two laps around this beast course. They actually add a couple extra miles to it, so it's an actual 30-mile fucking mountain race. So what's a little bit depressing is while you're dragging yourself through this race and you're about, you know, mile 8 or 10 of a 13-mile race, the ultras who have already made a lap around there are like passing you at like a swift jog, like coming through on the left, like, you motherfucker. That means they did an entire course plus, you know, 3/4 of it, and they're still moving faster than you. And it's like, God damn it. But, you know, like I said, a lot of these people are just a different breed of cat than me. You know, they were running since they were young. They've been, you know, training for this a long time. Some people are just built for that, you know. Realistically, like I said, I really had to switch my mentality and my gears as far as what I was doing with life to even be doing this type of thing. So I'm very happy where I'm at either way. So that was that. You know what I noticed? There was a one ultra that passed me or whatever, and this fucking kid, I mean, he looked like he was probably 30 years old or 20-something years old. Whole inside of his right or left bicep, I don't know, remember which arm, I don't really care, was just a big-ass Confederate flag. And then on his book bag, he had like a patch that had the Starbucks logo, and it said, "Offend everyone, it's in our nature," on the patch. And my thing is like this, like, I'm not like, oh, I'm so offended by how this guy is doing. It's not that, it's just, I think this guy is just a colossal dickhead. Because, you know, first off, like, you had to run out and get a patch after you saw the racial shit happen on the news. And the thing is, it's crazy because, like, but, you know, the whole, like, boycott Starbucks, all of that shit. Like, come on, man. Like, it wasn't their mission statement to, like, you know, have black people arrested if they're hanging around in the store. That's not, like, across the board, like, yeah, this is how Starbucks rolls. Like, I'm with Dunkin' Donuts. It's like, shut the fuck up, man. That's not, like, their fucking credo. So that's ridiculous in itself. But the thing is and I feel this way about a lot of, you know, a lot of things. Like, well, that situation happened, right? Obviously, things weren't handled right. Ignorant shit happens. I mean, there's some shit misunderstandings that happen, and you know, then you just get some people that are just blatantly wrong and ignorant and, you know, do hateful shit. I don't really have nearly as much problem with those people because there's just always going to be, you know, like a racial element, like a... There's people who do fucked up shit. It doesn't even have to be racial. There's people who do fucked up shit across the board, all over the country, all over the world. There's just going to be that percentage of people that are fucked up. My bigger problem is the part of the population that sees people do that fucked up shit and embraces it. Like, yes, that's what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, those are the people I think you gotta watch out for. More so than the people who are going to, you know, just do some old dumb shit here and there. And that's, you know, that's the same way I feel about, like, a lot of the people who support the different things that Trump has said or done. Trump is just being fucking Trump, you know. But the people, you know, when this dude says, like, yeah, we're going to get all the Mexicans out of here, or, you know, whatever. The people who are, like, fucking rising to their feet and clapping, like, ooh, those are the ones to watch out for. Because he could just be talking shit, but those motherfuckers are about it, you know? It's crazy. And, you know, that's why I've said a lot of times, like, you don't have to look for racial, you don't have to look for racism. You don't have to be like, yo, that white guy said nigga while he was singing a song. I'm so offended, that guy's racist, this is a hate crime, this is, you know, just settle the fuck down. There is enough real fucking racism out there that you could just fucking see it. I mean, you don't need to fucking look around. You got people that run around buying patches and shit for their motherfucking, you know, their Spartan race fucking backpack just so they could show motherfuckers who might see them out there, like, look, I'm really into racism. Like, I'm shopping for racist items. Like, that's how racist a motherfucker is. And then, you know, the other thing too is, like, the Confederate flag when you're like a fucking 30-year-old dude. Like, I don't support that shit, you know. I don't give a fuck what age you are. I'm not down with that Confederate flag shit. But, you know, when you're like fucking 20-something, 30 years old, like, that shit is not your era at all to even be rocking that shit. Like, you're just trying to be on some, like, throwback racism. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, motherfuckers my age, like, rocking a Joe Namath jersey. You're trying to just be on some throwback shit. Like, you're a Jets fan, and you just happen to, you know, you want to rock that old Namath. That's what a Confederate flag is to, like, a young racist. It's just like a throwback jersey to when shit was fucked up, and they're all about it. So, yeah, it's just wild. Like, shit like that just jumps out to me. And, again, it's, like, he's looking to just offend people and, like, they take that stance, like, oh, yeah, everybody's so sensitive. It's like, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of sensitive bullshit where comedians can't make jokes and this and that. But then there's the other part where you're not even a funny human being and you're just a dickhead. I mean, you're just outing yourself as the biggest dickhead on the mountain. So, you know, shit like that just stands out. Then on Monday, I did the Death Nut Challenge. If you have not seen the video, go and check it out. It's on all my social media. I posted the link to it on my Facebook and Twitter. I rarely ever use Twitter, but I did throw the link on there. Instagram, it's like on my bio. What's the other thing? Is there another thing? Twitter, Instagram? No, I think that's it. So, yeah, you know, oh, and I mean, it's on YouTube. That's where it's hosted from anyway. I think if you just search Death Nut Challenge on YouTube, I'll probably come up. I mean, especially if you could switch the filters to, like, most recent, because the shit just happened Monday. So, did it with my friend Corey. She tapped out after three nuts. The shit was intense. I knew from the start, like, look, Cannonball and Louie did it, and I've seen, you know, a couple of videos of people doing it. They give you this little list of rules, and, like, you don't drink any liquids through the whole challenge. Like, oh, fuck yourself, dude. Like, this shit is extreme. Like, you show people that fucking package, and they're like, you're out of your fucking mind. I ain't going near that shit. So, look, I'm not trying to be, like, world's craziest hot pepper-eating motherfucker on the planet. So, I mean, if you want to push the limits and you really want to go buy the book and no liquid through the whole challenge, go for it. But make no fucking mistake about it. It's not gonna be like a walk in the fucking park if you drink water during it. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks. So anyway, that's how I plan. I figured I'll do the no water thing for as long as I feel comfortable. And then after three, Corey tapped out, and I started with the water after three. Three levels. Some of the peanuts, they're not bad. I mean, the taste isn't bad on the majority of the things. The heat, it fucking brings the heat for sure. So the biggest problem with these type of things too is I can handle just about any type of heat, in my mouth. Like, I don't really pause. I don't really have any problem with that. But my fucking stomach is a whole nother ballgame. My stomach is never on board for these challenges. Like, it's never where, like, my stomach's like, yeah, I'm down to fucking test my limits today. You know what I mean? That's like a brain and taste bud thing. But when it comes to your stomach, I guess you could just eat hot food a lot, like a ton, and train yourself stomach-wise for that. But for me, like, I really don't eat, like, a ton of hot food. I make my hot sauces and stuff like that, and I'll put my hot sauce on stuff quite often, but I don't make it like a challenge. Like, I don't generally eat like challenging level hot sauces. Like, this is rough to get through. Like, why ruin your food? You know what I mean? So I'm generally not like a food challenge guy. I do the pepper pong, which is like a pretty fucking extreme thing, but that's like, once in August every summer, with peppers that I grow and stuff like that. And that's a good time. And, a lot of people wind up throwing up, and it is what it is. But, so we did this. I got through all the levels, and then, the thing is with the water, too, is it's, again, not the mouth. It's, that shit just starts sitting in my throat. Like, I feel like it's not moving down, and it just starts to feel, like, heavy in your throat. And I feel like, it wouldn't stay down nearly as long as it did if I didn't have something to wash it down there. Like, it just, the shit just kind of sits up top. And, so I drank the water, did the whole thing, got through all the levels or whatever, and turned the video off. We were just sitting there chatting for like 15 minutes. And I really thought I got past like the worst part. 'Cause you'll see like late in the video, it's like, it felt like I did a million crunches. Like, I felt it like in my abs, not just like my stomach. Like, I felt it like in the muscles in my stomach. Like, it was pretty intense, but I thought I got past all of that. And we were just like sitting there chatting and talking and whatever. And then it just hit me. Like, I was like, nope, fucking hit the bathroom and fucking came back up. Now, like, throwing up obviously sucks, but it went out my fucking nose, and that was hell. That was like the worst part of the entire challenge, and, was it in my nose. Because if you think eating anything is hot or fucking difficult or whatever the case may be, however you want to label it, try eating that shit with your sinuses. Like, sinuses are pretty fucking sensitive. All the mucous membranes and all of that shit. That shit is fucking intense. It just felt like fire. There's like a skull with fire on it, on the front of the thing. I felt like that fucking guy was in my face. So it took me to be like, blowing my nose and blowing my nose to finally get it out of there, which was fucking not easy. But that was the most brutal part of it for sure. So I hope everybody enjoyed the video. And like I said, I give full credit to anyone who wants to plow through that shit without liquid or anything, but it's not my gig. That's not some shit that I'm looking to accomplish. I personally wouldn't see that as like, yeah, that's awesome, I did it without liquid. I don't give a fuck. Again, just like in, the Spartan races, I'm not expecting to finish first. I'm just trying to finish, that's, that's what I was aiming for with this fucking peanut challenge. So, that's that. What do I want to get into? Well, you know, I guess I'll go into this King of the Deathmatch thing. King of the Deathmatch was a plan of mine to go to King. And, you know, for those who don't know, King of the Deathmatch is pretty much what brought Deathmatch tournaments to the States. I can't give you, like, an entire history lesson of years and this, but it really set the stage for all these deathmatch tournaments that are happening pretty much weekly around here these days, especially in the summer. They're popping up all over the country now. The King of the Deathmatch has been the measuring stick for that for a long time. There was a point where Tournament of Death definitely took over and became, set the bar a little higher. You know, I'm not going to bullshit you and tell you that, like, King of the Deathmatch was always better than Tournament of Death, because that was definitely not the case. Something that set King of the Deathmatch apart was always the two-day tournament, which they've gone away from here and there. They're back to a two-day, you know, this year. I think they did a two-day last year. Not positive. But they, you know, they set themselves apart by doing that two-day tournament, and it really, you know, sets them apart from your average one-day, one-and-done tournament. But, I mean, the things that they've innovated over the years and the levels of ultra-violence they've done is just unmatched. 2 years ago, I went with myself, Jeremy, Whackpacker Hogan, and that little homo, AJ. It was a great time. I mean, it was before the little homo turned on me and you know, became a little piece of shit and talked all this garbage online and stuff like that he wouldn't do to my face. But it was a great time. You know, Hogan was made that whole trip fucking easy. You know, the comedic relief of Whackpacker Hogan through a long ass trip was just fucking awesome. And Jeremy's a good friend of mine, so it was just a really good trip. And you know, so I always had like a, I'd like to do that one more time kind of thing in the back of my mind. When Ian started talking about the end of IWA, he was going to wrap it up. January was going to be the last show or whatever. I started telling Jeremy, like, yeah, well, I mean, I got to go if that's the case. Shortly after, Ian was able to get some money together and keep things going, which I was glad for, because number one, I like to see Ian succeed and, well, at least, you know, stay afloat. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I'm not saying that, like, yay, he fucking started crushing it and now he's making tons of money. I'm just saying, like, they did enough where they can keep things running, which I was happy about. Also happy that I really didn't have to go, because it wasn't something that I really wanted to do. You know, everybody who's listened to this knows that I stopped attending wrestling shows a while ago. I'm all out. And I mean, we'll go to, you know, pretty far extent to explain that tonight again. But, you know, I did, probably like a 2 hour show. If you go a while back, probably a month, 2 months back, something along those lines. But, explaining why I'm just done with wrestling. I'm all done. It's not like, yeah, you know, there was a while where it was just this company was doing some shit I didn't like, or this company was doing some shit I didn't like. And there was at one point an option where you could just say, well, you know, come over to this because they're doing some shit you like over here. There was that period of time where that existed. Well, enough things happened and enough things turned me off from wrestling as a whole that no longer exists. You can show me the best thing on the planet and I don't care. I'm just checked out. You know what I mean? It's not, I don't say this thing, you know, for a while I kind of said it half jokingly, like, I don't even like wrestling. I'm telling you, like, straight up 100%, I don't like wrestling anymore. Like, there's some shit I really like about it. There's some awesome matches, but I don't go out of my way to watch it. I almost go out of my way not to watch it because I have zero plans to watch wrestling as of right this minute, I have zero plans to ever watch wrestling. I'm not saying I'm never going to. I'm sure I'll watch a show here and there. When King of the Death match winds up, you know, on a video on demand or whatever, I'll probably check it out. But, you know, there's deathmatch season type shit. I end up watching the Tournament of Survivals, the Tournament of Deaths, even though I don't know about this year. Those type of things. But I really, I resubscribed to the WWE Network for Royal Rumble. Because Royal Rumble is one of those things, and I hadn't watched WWE since probably the previous WrestleMania or some shit. And I was just like, Royal Rumble is one of those things, you know, a lot of surprises, exciting, you know, the big fucking Rumble match, all of that. And then I said, all right. So I resubscribed for Royal Rumble, and then I said, let me just keep it for Mania. I turned it on for Mania. I watched like three matches. I meant to cancel like the next day because, again, I have no plans on like, okay, I'm back in. Like, it's not like that. I saw a few matches. Some shit was pretty good. You know, the AJ Nakamura wasn't bad. I talked about it on the show or whatever. And it was all right. But, like, I could take it or leave it. I have no passion for it anymore. So I meant to cancel, like, the next day. Forgot about it. Like, a month passed. And then they sent me an email like, hey, fucking such and such is coming up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot to cancel. So I canceled it, like, a couple weeks ago. But the thing about it is, and this is the underlying problem of the entire trip and the entire reason why I canceled, the underlying portion of it all is I am not excited about wrestling. I'm just not. So having canceled off of the Guardians show, and I canceled off of that long before I ever made plans to go. Like, there was never like, I'm going and then I'm not going. I was like, hey, might go to that, you know, when it was like the end of IWA, and then when it was like, it's not the end of IWA, like, within the same sentence of reading that, I was like, well, I'm not going to that. Wasn't even a thought. So I just decided, all right, you know, I do want to do one more. I had in my mind, at least, that I wanted to do one more. King of the Death. Now, as months went by, I signed up for this. I said, all right, I'm going to go. You know, we're going to make the trip. And as months went by and as it got closer, I just more and more, I'm just dreading going. I'm just going like, God, fucking ride. Jesus Christ. So let me now add all the factors in on why I'm not going. So one factor being the ride. I'm so checked out of wrestling. For me to spend a combined over 24 hours in the car in a weekend, it's bizarre. Like, who the fuck would do that for something that they're really not that into? You know, Game Changers running crazy fucking shows in Jersey. Of course, you know, I don't get along with Danny or Brett or any of them, but in the same token, they're running crazy fucking shows in New Jersey. There's not a chance I'm going to one of them. Of course, I like Ian a lot better, and I King of the Death match is something, you know, I have a lot of respect for. But in the same token, like 13 hours in the fucking car to get there, and then like 13 hours back, something like that. It was like 14 last time, but we hit a lot of traffic and stuff. So anyway, that to me is just fucking crazy. Absolutely fucking crazy. Not only that, it's going to cost me $200 to chip in for the rental and for the hotel. So again, combined over 24 hours in the car, $200, and then missing 2 days of work, which, you know, I got vacation time and stuff, but obviously, you know, you lose overtime. You can't get overtime on vacation pay. So I definitely still lose money, and not being at my job for then it would be 3 days, my normal day off plus the extra 2 days I take off. For what I do, it's a big deal. Not that I can't take time off. I can. But understand, like, what I do when I take care of these cats, my word carries a lot of weight while I'm standing there. If I'm not there, in some scenarios, it can cost a cat their life. You know, different situations are handled different by different people. And I know that my cats are in the very safest hands when I'm in the building. So, there's a nervousness, you know, things can happen. Not that, like, oh yeah, cats are fucked if I'm not there every time. I'm just saying, like, things can happen. So there's a worry that goes along with me not being there for three straight days, because I really don't take vacations. I take, like, a fucking Saturday, and then I'm off Sunday, and that's my big fucking 2-day stretch, and that's a long stretch for me. If I take another random day off in the middle of the week, well, then I have my day off on Sunday, and then I take another day off, and I'm still only missing, like, a day. You know, and again, I have vacation time. I've been there for, you know, 17 years. So it's just, it's a lot. So again, add all those things to, again, I'm really not into it. I'm really not excited. As time grows closer to these trips and these deathmatch tournaments and whatever big wrestling show in the past, it was always something that as the closer it got, the more excited you got, the more hyped you got. And the closer it got, the more I dreaded it. It was just like, fuck, I got to go all the way the fuck out there. Like, I can't see my kids for 3 days. I got to not be at work for 3 days, spend $200, spend over 24 hours in a car. Like, the negatives are just so fucking outweighing the positives. And then, you know, let me just add this, because this is another topic I got to touch on. This Michael Thicke homo. This kid is a straight up pussy. And the reason why the entire fucking thing started with me and this fucking idiot is because I called him a pussy for being a pussy. He went on an anonymous page with an anonymous picture. No one knew who the fuck he was. And he started calling Ian Rotten a bitch and a this and a that and talking all sorts of insult shit because he was hiding behind a motherfucking logo. So when I called him out, he got super offended, but he still didn't know that I knew who the fuck he was. So then I exposed who he was. Then he got really super offended. But you see, all the threats and all of that shit came before he knew that I knew who the fuck he was. Now, the thing is, as I aforementioned, you know, my job, my kids, these are all very, very important things to me. This is what my life consists of. I work 6 days a week. I have three children that I see every single day of my life, and I would have it no other way. For me to go fucking 13, 14 hours away from home and be in the same place with this dude that threatened me long distance, of course, you know, behind a logo and all of that bullshit, posted my picture, talked all this reckless shit, promising his other little dirtbag friends that he was going to punch me in the face and this and that, I'd be risking my freedom to even show up there. And again, if I was into the shit, I would deal with the 24 plus hours in the car, the $200, the taking the days off of work. I would deal with all these different things because it would be worth it. And I'd go there, and then whatever the fuck happened with him would happen with him. But I know me. I'm already annoyed from all the other things that you stack up there. Now you add this idiot to the fucking group. And I guarantee you, because I'm not one of these, like, forgetful type of person people, and I'm not trying to pin myself as, like, some super tough guy, like, I fuck everybody up who talks shit. That's not the case. But in the same token, there's a certain level that I could be pushed. And after that, it's my responsibility keep myself out of a situation that's going to escalate. And this absolutely would escalate. For instance, back to the hamhead situation. In Bayonne, shit absolutely would have went down. When I got in Hamhead's face and confronted him about all the wild shit he talked online and all that crazy shit he had to say about me online, and when I got in his face in Bayonne, we were downstairs, we were in a basement or whatever the fuck it was, of that school in Bayonne. There was nothing but fucking me, him, and there were double doors behind him that went to the outside. And all I needed, and I'm not saying like this was the right decision, and that, you know, I'm a bad motherfucker, so this is how I do things. But I'm telling you, once I get to that level, that's where my brain goes. And his answers to me were crucial to both of us doing that fucking show that night, straight up. And he could tell you all the type of bullshit he wants, but he said all the right things to make shit not happen that night. And he knows the deal. He had tears in his fucking eyes, not saying they were rolling down his face, but his eyes were watery. And he said the words, "If I could take it back, I would." That was a long time ago, which, mind you, was less than a month ago. That was a long time ago. What's beating my ass going to prove? These are the type of things he was saying to me. Not fuck you pussy, any of the shit that he was saying online. Yeah, I mean, fuck you, motherfucker. Like, he got all sorts of fuck yous for me online. And to everybody that wanted to listen and jump on the hamhead bandwagon, he had all sorts of wild shit to say to me. But that night, I was fucking amped. And he had no fuck yous for me. And that was it. Because I'm telling you right then, like, that night wouldn't have ended well for either one of us. I'm not delusional. I would have went to fucking jail. I mean, I would have at least got fucking brought in. He wouldn't have finished the night in that building. I fucking promise you. Because, like I said, the double doors behind him went to the outside, and there was no one there to fucking stop it. No one. Especially when those doors clicked shut, there was no one on the outside of those doors. It was me and him. So, and again, you could do the tale of the tape between me and him and me and his Michael Thick dude. And if you believe anything else would happen other than me getting the fucking best of either one of those situations, then I don't have anything to say to you. Like, I'm not one of these motherfuckers who's like, I need to prove to everybody out there that I could do that. I mean, you can look at what the fuck I'm up to, and you can look at what the fuck they're up to, and you tell me what the fuck would happen. Like, let's not get crazy. So, that's just the feeling I got, you know, and I know this dude went there with me, where I was just like, all right, you know, if I see this dude, and, you know, you can go through the motions of thinking of this and that, and, you know, he's not going to do anything. You're damn right he's not going to do anything, but what about me? Now, I'm going to sit there passive for 2 days after the wild shit he talked, see him, and then just, oh, okay, well, nothing happened. Just, I don't know. Again, I don't seek out problems. I don't have this type of shit going in real life. Like, in my regular day-to-day, people don't talk about me the way that they do on this little bullshit internet. I mean, I don't really, like, yeah, I might not have all the friends in the world, but in the same token, I don't have these type of issues. I don't have these type of motherfuckers talking reckless in my life, in day-to-day life and work and off work. It just, this shit doesn't happen. So if I put myself in a predicament where that type of shit is suddenly going to happen, that's my fucking fault then. As a 40-year-old man with kids, that's my fucking fault if I put myself in a position for it to happen. So again, I can, if it's worth it to me to go through the whole fucking spiel of the hours in the car and the money and the this and the that, if it's worth it to me because I'm into this shit, then I'll do my best to stay out of fucking trouble and to keep my composure and this and that. But to go into the whole scenario annoyed because I'm even going on a trip to begin with, not to mention, like, there's other motherfuckers in this trip that are gung-ho about going. The fuck am I going to fuck their trip up for? Yeah, I mean, being the negative dude, it's like, yo, what the fuck, man, this trip's long. It's long for everybody, but they're down to go. So it seems crazy for me to, you know, just be that dark cloud on the whole situation. So, to me, it didn't make any sense. It just, the closer it got, it was just like, this isn't what I want to do. Having said that, I really think Ian's going to put on the best fucking tournament in the country. I think this is Nick Gage's tournament, which is, you know, was a huge contributing factor to the positives that I saw in this. Was like 2 years ago when Nick went in there and went to that fucking semifinal match for 50 plus minutes with John Wayne Murdoch. John Wayne, can you buy me a pizza, Murdoch? I mean, just fucking completely blew the roof off. That was where the dude came out of prison, had some good matches and this and that, had some crazy shit, and then was like, now I go 50 minutes with this guy. Holy fucking shit, can Gage go? Which, nobody had any questions of whether he could, whether he couldn't, but anyone who thought, like, ring rust, you know, how's he going to be, how's this, how's that, 50 minute with John Wayne Murdoch lets you know exactly what the fuck he was capable of. And then he fucked up, went back to jail. Yeah, because it is what it is there. But, so it kind of left people waiting, like, oh, fuck, Gage was on fire. Gage is out of here. Another year in. And now he's back out. His return to King of the Deathmatch this year. And, yeah, I think he's got to go fucking win this shit, you know? And you know, if the fans out there get however many rounds the tournament is of Nick fucking Gage and what he's out there doing right now, I mean, he's right now the best in deathmatch wrestling. No question. No question about it. I mean, he's at a full fucking sprint, you know? So, I wish everybody out there, you know, a great time. Anybody who's hyped to see that type of shit out there is not going to disappoint. I mean, there's nothing about it that's going to disappoint. But like I said, I am just fucking checked out. You know, we'll touch on that a little bit later, too, when I do my plugs, because I got, you know, some things to say there, too. But, yeah, it just wasn't in the cards for me. There's not much more I could say about it. Just everything in, everything weighed in. It just, as I got closer, I just kept, like, having more of, like, fuck, here we go, you know, Jesus, it's getting closer, and it, like, I shouldn't be dreading this shit. This is I was supposed to be hyped. It made no sense to be feeling the way I felt about it, and, yeah. I'm grateful that, you know, Jeremy understood in me deciding to opt out, you know, especially this close to the situation. I really didn't want to be that guy, but I don't feel it was right for me to force myself to go, because it wasn't what I wanted to do at all. Like, anyone that sits in the fucking car for a combined 25 hours in the car for something they don't want to do is fucking crazy. So, that's that. TOD in New Jersey. Let me fucking, I gotta, like, pull up fucking Instagram or something to find where the shit's at again. This shit is in motherfucking, what is it, Pansboro Deck Hockey in Berlin, New Jersey. In the tournament is Brandon Kirk, Ricky Shane Page, Mr. Claxton, Josh Crane, who still owes me fucking money, Dale Patrick, Stockade, Mance Warner, Dan O'Hare, Casanova Valentine, I know there's a little Euro fruit, where the hell is he? Drew Parker, I think that's everybody. And I don't know, that might even be a full field. I didn't even count how many I just listed, but that might be the full field. Apparently they had some issues with the Delaware State Athletic Commission, whatever the case is, and Deathmatch Wrestling, I think, is done in Delaware, I think. So they're moving to this little joint in Jersey. Well, a couple thoughts here. Number one, I don't feel like DJ, despite the fact that GCW's been going all out in Jersey, DJ has been extremely cautious about doing the same. I mean, through Cage of Death, they did some, you know, the Cage of Death match itself was crazy. But they ran, like, an anniversary show with no death match, no anything like that. They've been running very, very soft and been very straightforward about, we're changing our direction and our, you know, all the barbed wire out of the logo, all of that shit. they've been running a way softer combat zone. And now, I mean, the place that they're calling home, they didn't want to get cookie crumbs in the motherfucking the AstroTurf or whatever. So you think glass is allowed there? That's out. I don't think thumbtacks are going to be scattered all over the fucking joint if they're worried about cookie crumbs and shit. I've said it, you know, a lot recently, and CZW's dead. I mean, it's absolutely dead. I'll be really, really surprised if it exists in 2 years. You know, and then they did the whole, like, everybody's got to choose a side, you know, GCW or CCW. You can't work both places anymore. Joey left. I saw the like tantrum he threw. It looked pretty silly, but, he threw a little tantrum on the, CCW Best of the Best show after he was eliminated. Report I heard is he wanted to go to the finals. They said no. They took him out first round, whatever the case. Which, you know, again, that's just what I heard. I don't know shit. You know, he flipped out. It sounded ridiculous. But either way, like, I can't blame Joey for fucking picking GCW. I can't blame Schlack for picking GCW. From what I understand, that's the case there. He's not in Tournament of Death, which is a fucking big blow to Tournament of Death as far as I'm concerned. Jimmy Lloyd, I'm pretty sure, picked GCW. Who gives a fuck? You know, they threw him a fucking birthday party show. I'm pretty sure he's a GCW guy, despite the, you know, training in CZW, but who gives a shit? Tremont supposedly is Team CZW, as it were. You know, he's a guy who's not working deathmatch tournaments anymore. I'm sure Tremont could still go, but he's banged the fuck up. I mean, you know, no disrespect to Tremont, because the reason he's banged up is for going a million miles an hour and carrying deathmatch wrestling as a whole on his back for a handful of years. So, I mean, he's really fucking... He's not like the Tremont that he was before. I'm sure sometime this year he'll put on some insane matches that you know, will remind you what Tremont's capable of, because, you know, he's not done. But in the same token, this isn't getting, you know, a young rookie prospect. This is just getting a guy who's being loyal to CZW, you know, hanging with CZW. But I mean, last year, you know, look what GCW got out of Tremont. So I don't think it's like a fuck you by any stretch of the imagination to be like, all right, look, I'm going to go hang out with these guys for now until things cool down. And, you know, and things might go back to like everyone's working everywhere. Neither one of these companies are paying enough to compensate for two bookings. So I don't know. It's, you know, on one hand, it's stupid, but on the other hand, the shit has gotten so volatile between the fucking two companies, you can't expect it to go any other way. I mean, they've been cutting each other's throats left and right, so to have the same people in both locker rooms has always been kind of awkward from, yeah, at least my vantage point as a fan. X-Fan, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, CZW going from Tournament of Death, let's not get it fucked up. Tournament of Death survived on its aura. Its aura was, as they called it, death stock, and it was a, you know, like a death match Woodstock, whatever you want to call it. They were out there in the field in DJ's yard, and it's always been, you know, like a lawless fucking environment. I think some of those people go out there to get trashed more so than they even give a fuck about the show itself, which you better hope those fucking people show up, because the show itself does not look impressive. That card looks like absolute trash. And there's a couple good deathmatch guys on that show, but nothing stands out as a must-see. You look at King of the Deathmatch, you look at Tournament of Survival, and Tournament of Survival is only a couple announcements into their actual tournament. But you look at King of the Deathmatch, you look at Tournament of Survival, I mean, the name Nick Gage alone crushes what Tournament of Death's doing. You know, it's just over. And yeah, they're going, oh, you know, coolers are still allowed at ringside. And no, tailgating's cool. You don't understand. When this shit is tucked away in your fucking backyard and these people are just about doing meth in your fucking yard. Again, Not that that's the right thing to do, and not that that's been my gimmick ever, but these motherfuckers are on some complete lawless, crazy, fucking getting fucked up like they're in their backyard shit. You can't just do that just anywhere. You can't, especially first-time venue. I heard rumors that it might be in a fucking school zone, which, if that's the case, that's all nice. You could tell people, tailgating's cool, yeah, drink in your car, whatever. All you need is one fucking cop to roll up while these dudes are smoking weed. I mean, you can't fucking provide a false sense of security for your fans and start getting them arrested at your event, which is a very big possibility when you bring a deathmatch tournament into a town that never had one before. And like I said, again, I don't think DJ is comfortable enough to push the limits and have Tournament of Death be the craziest fucking tournament you've ever seen. By all indications, DJ doesn't want to do deathmatch shit anymore. So, I mean, even if he does this and then uses this as his, like, springboard to, like, look, it's too hard to get away with it anymore, then he's got his way. He's got his way where, like, look, can't do it in Delaware. We were told to fucking not do what we just did, so what do you got want me to do, fans? My hands are tied. I guess we'll just, you know, bring Brittany Blake back and put her over fucking Ricky Shane Page. What can you do? I don't know. It's all bullshit. It's funny, too, seeing the tables flip, too, where, you know, it was like a year ago, Joey Janela was coming at me and anyone else who said something bad about CZW and said, like, no, man, they're going in a great direction, and if you don't like it, you should just go watch some other shit because, you know, they're doing progressive things, and they're evolving. And the next thing you know, like, he's one of the people pointing out, like, yeah, it's some little shithole next to a high school, and fucking, you know, now it's okay. That's the thing, like, nobody likes my fucking blunt honesty, and then you fast forward like a year later, and they're saying the same shit I said. I had the same fucking problem with Joey back in the day, where I hated Eric Tapout. I had big problems with Eric Tapout. Joey came on fucking line out of nowhere. He wasn't involved in any of it. He's fucking messaging me, threatening me, and this and this. Years later, he had a falling out with him, and I had no knowledge of that at all. But I had seen Joey wrestle for the first time, because I hadn't even seen him wrestle before. He was just sending me threats online and shit. I never saw this fucking dude before. And I saw him wrestle at Jersey All-Pro against Steve Scott. And I'm watching this match, like, half-hating and shit, looking like, yeah, this is the motherfucker who's going to kick my ass and shit. I'm like, yeah, all right. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you see that type of shit online. It's like, again, like, you're not running around looking for fights, but if someone says they're going to kick your ass and you suddenly see him, like, yeah, I mean, you're going to have some kind of thought in your head, like, maybe shit goes down. Who knows? So I hit him up saying, like, look, man, I really enjoyed your match. I don't know if you're still on that shit. I mean, if you are, it is what it is, but look, I enjoyed your match and this and that. And he hit me back. He's like, nah, no worries, man. You know, fuck Eric Tapout. You know, I'm not down with that shit anymore and this and that. And then, like, that was like almost like a bonding moment where it was like, yeah, fuck Eric Tapout. I went to the show in, what was it? Brick? Yeah, Brick. And they had the little pony ring. And it was like him and X-Pac with Scott Hall at ringside, and he won the tag titles. And like, he hopped off the ring with the fucking titles, and I'm over there ringside. He's like, yeah, fuck Eric Tapout, right? And fucking high-five me and shit. You know what I mean? Like, but that's the thing. You know, one minute he was ready to die for this fucking guy and ready to fight people. And then the next thing you know, it was like, oh, yeah, me too, bro. We're like, yeah, we're good. So, and I feel like a lot of that type of shit was going on with CZW, where it was like, oh no, fucking, you don't know anything, fucking DJ, everything's going great, next thing you know, he's over there going, yeah, well, fuck them. It's just, this type of shit happens all the time. And, I don't think me and Joey are going to be friends anytime soon. He got tired of me calling him fat, which is fine. I mean, you want to be fat, be fat. It's just crazy how things change. And like I said, I've always just been blunt and honest. I never say shit for shock value or to just get attention or anything, because I really don't give a fuck who's paying attention to me. It's not my gig. I do this shit for like a hobby, one of many hobbies, and not even my favorite hobby. And I just like to fucking talk. So that's Tournament of Death, man. I feel like this is one of the nails in the fucking coffin for CZW, because the bread and butter of CZW has been those shock and awe shows, the Tournament of Death, the Cage of Death. I mean, those motherfuckers right there. Those were something that stood out. There was always wrestling in CZW, despite DJ telling you, you know, he invented wrestling within CZW, but it was not the case. And it's still, these shows really jumped out as something you couldn't miss, you know. So I don't know what to tell you. It's not looking good, though. So what else do I want to talk about? This lion and tiger petting shit. The WWE, I guess they went to South Africa or some shit, and they were some kind of lion. I forget what the exact name of the place is, but it's something about lion safari and fucking whatever. And Bailey was there, and Cesaro was there, and I just keep seeing this outpouring of, oh my god, I'm so jealous, you got to pet the tiger, the lions, and oh my god, that's great. And like, she's all fucking, like, they're all hyped about it, like it's just a positive thing. I just, for those who don't know, If you want to go watch, I never watched the movie, but the documentary. But if you want to go watch Blood Lions, you'll realize the type of thing that canned hunting is, and what it is these cubs, they can be pet and they can be touched and this and that. Once they hit a certain level of maturity, you can't do that with them anymore. They're too strong. Even at a playful sense, they're too strong. They have to get rid of them. I mean, and, you know, well, you know, let me skip forward real quick just to say that, this place in particular, and if you Google, you know, most of these places, they've had incidents, they've been exposed, they've had, you know, you look at this exact place, and again, I forget the name of it, but just look up where they were. And then look up like the 60 Minutes expose that they did on it. And this place was exposed for dealing to can hunts. And they shut their operations down of the cub petting. After being exposed, they shut it down. They went a couple years and then just recently reopened it because it was too big money. They couldn't turn away the money. And they just said, fuck it. You know. And now they're claiming that They're not dealing in you know, the can hunt sales. They're not selling to can hunts. They're allowing them to just grow up and live there and this, but bullshit. You know, a cub only stays a cub a certain amount of time, and then from there on, the lion should live, you know, up into 20 plus years. So when you figure, within the first year, you lose your marketability as far as a cub, and then you need another cub, and each lion lives over 20 years, there's no feasible way to just keep all of the lions. That's not a real thing. You can believe that bullshit if you want, but it's not a real thing. A can hunt is where the big cats are put in small enclosures, and rich trophy hunting jerk-offs pay big money to shoot them. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars. And then they get to take the lion home with them, you know, the lion's body, and do whatever they want with them. And that's what these lions are sold off to after they're too big to be used for, you know, pick drops and rolling around with people who have the money to do that type of shit with. So, I mean, look up these places. Research these places. Don't tell me you like fucking lions, you love lions, you love tigers, you love this. Even Bailey said, because someone said, I'd love to do that with tigers, I'm big into tigers, and she's like, oh, there's a place in Thailand. You look up Tiger Temple. Look up fucking Tiger Temple. Because a couple years ago, they got shut down. 40 tiger cubs frozen in their freezer they found. Tiger pelts, they were selling them for fucking skins. Not only any of that can hunt shit, but they were straight up killing them and fucking selling their skins there. They were selling the tiger meat. They were selling the tiger every fucking thing. They were using those cubs for money and then slaughtering those fucking tigers out there. They were mass, and even in South Africa, they mass breed them. They breed them like fucking, you know, like assholes with pit bulls. Just fucking, I'm gonna have one of the puppies. Like, that's what they're doing. They're just out there breeding them and breeding them because they're making money off of them. And they have to go somewhere once they're a certain size. They can't be used for that anymore. And there's not enough room on the planet to just mass produce things and then just like, we keep all the adults. Like, yeah, okay. That's again, it's not a real thing. So do your research on this. And especially, you know, when she's, I'm not blaming, you know, Bailey or, you know, Cesaro or any one of these guys, but it's blatant ignorance. And when you celebrate that shit, like, look at how awesome this is. You're either like keeping a blind eye on purpose, or I'm not really sure. Cause I mean, there's more than just me on those threads saying, how fucking dare you, you know, you're contributing to a horrible trade and this and that. And you're ignoring that shit on purpose if you're not seeing that and going, hey, what are they talking about? Like, I love that cub. I would have loved to seen it grown up. Oh, well, you could shoot it and bring it home in 2 years because that's what it's going to, you know, be off to. And where I work, you know, I work in the shelter with the domestic cats, but we have tigers and lions and all of that type of stuff out there in the zoo. And several of our cats were rescued from can hunts that they did out in Texas. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, this isn't just Thailand. This isn't just South Africa. This isn't just those type of things. Can hunts exist in the United States. Texas is a big place for that type of thing. We've rescued several cats from can hunt situations because what happens is these things are legal. These things are okay. But if enough noise gets riled up, if enough organizations get riled up and then you know, bring heat on the organization, a lot of times they'll okay, we'll release these cats to you. They'll release these 4 or 5 cats or these 10 cats if you have a place to put them. And most times, you know, who the fuck has a place to put these cats? Well, it's places like us that will take in these cats from, you know, different places. And We currently have 6 tigers. I mean, we're a small zoo, but we have 6 fucking tigers. There's big zoos that don't have 6 tigers. We have 3 lions, 6 tigers, couple cougars, baboons. Well, a lot of different things, a lot of different situations. It's not all can hunts or anything like that. Now we got monkeys and all sorts of things. But you know, it's there's so much more to it than just like, oh, you got to play with a lion cub. Oh, and I touch a baby lion. It's like, look into this shit, guys, because, you know, to love the beauty of an animal, I could sympathize with anybody that respects animals that way. And you know, if you're naive and you're young or you're, you know, you just don't see that side of it or know that side of it. Yeah. Oh, that sounds fucking awesome to wrestle around with a fucking tiger cub or a lion cub. That sounds fucking awesome. But if you then think that, like, wow, that same cub that I think is so beautiful is going to grow up and be slaughtered because I'm fucking paying these people to keep the business going, to do what they're doing, you got to stop that cycle. I mean, you got to cut off this fucking trade. I mean, it's one thing if you worked in a zoo, they had a cub and you got to play around with it a little bit before it grew up. That's a different story. These animals are not meant to live that way. They're not meant to just be played with and stuff like that. And again, hey, if you're in a rare situation where you work somewhere that they have them and, you know, you're able to interact a little bit more than your average person, then fine, understandable. But for the public to be invited to this situation, it has to be done on such a mass level and such a continuous turnover as far as cubs that it's not safe for the animal whatsoever. There's no good end game for that amount of cubs being used and exploited. It's terrible. It's really, really terrible. So I I beg you guys to just look into that shit before you go, oh my God, yeah, me too, fucking, I'm going with you, I'm a pet a cub too. You're like, just cut it out, guys, they're dying. Kanye West, this motherfucker's off the hook, right? Look, I mean, the thing is, you know what's funny with Kanye? And I fuck with Kanye's music, man. And Kanye is a beast on the fucking music. But Kanye has always been on some bullshit. And what's funny is when he's on some bullshit that caters to people, they're down with it. You know? When he went on, it was like, George Bush doesn't care about black people. And Mike Myers stood and looked like, oh, what the fuck, man? Who? I didn't know that he was going to say that shit. You know, then Kanye was a hero because, oh, he stood up for us, this and this. Oh, turns out that, you know, a couple years later, you know, years down the road, now he's saying that slavery was a choice and shit. Oh, now he's not standing up for people, right? Okay, Kanye's about himself and nobody else. Do not get it fucked up. You know, when Taylor Swift is on the stage and he goes like, I'm going to cut off her speech. I'm going to let you finish, but... Beyonce, that was just him sucking Jay-Z's dick and trying to get up there with him, get attention for himself, fuck her, completely shit on her accomplishment, you know what I mean? Just for the sake of just, like, shit on her because I am who I am and I do what I do. And then, you know, again, the right crowd went, yeah, that's right, fuck that white bitch, you know? But, like, that's not just him standing up for what's right. You don't get to just, like, argue with people who win awards. How many times have you seen someone win an award and somebody going up like, yeah, fuck that, that's not the right one who won? Like, you don't get to do that. You're out of control. And it's just, again, it's all good and it's all fun, and now all of a sudden he's hitting the wrong fucking nerves. Kanye's out of his fucking mind. He's been out of his fucking mind for a long fucking time. So I just think it's entertaining, you know, to watch everybody fucking, you know, flip on him now. Because he's been on some bullshit his whole fucking life. To the best of my knowledge, he's been out of his mind throughout. He's done tremendous things musically. You know, he's going to continue to do tremendous things musically. Let's not get it fucked up. I'm hoping this doesn't fucking end the project he had planned for the summer with Nas. Like, he was supposed to produce a Nas record. Like, you know how dope that fucking shit is going to be? But people are already like, yo, fuck, boycott this motherfucker. So I'm hoping that shit's already recorded because Nas might not fuck with him now. You know? I don't know. But, shit is crazy. Kanye's out of his motherfucking mind. So, yeah, I think, just going to... pretty much wrap it at that. Little extended plugs though. Check out the Hot Tag Podcast. My man Shaheen over there, Box Man. They're doing their thing, man. They're on that steady WWE wrap up. Shaheen's regularly going to the GCW shows. So he's got all the rundown on all that type of stuff going on. Check them out. And they do all sorts of extra shows. You know, movie show Boxman does, and Shaheen, I think he does some other shit too, right? Yeah, you know, they do a lot of shit over there, and Shaheen's got his Hostile City graphics. He does all sorts of dope shit. You know, check him out. You want to commission him for some shit. Then check out my boy Jeremy and Eric doing I Got You 5 Stars. I think that's what it's called. And I always, like, I can't read that without, like, it's got to be, like, with an attitude. Like, I got your fucking 5 stars right here. You want your fucking 5? I got your 5 stars. Yeah, it's like the vibe I get off of that. But it's fucking weird, man, because, like, these motherfuckers start out with, like, a Rod Stewart song and shit. Like, I don't know, Forever Young or some kind of shit. Like, I don't even know what the fuck. Like, it's a little awkward. Show starts and I'm just looking around like, I don't, is this some kind of inside joke? Like, I don't know. This is just their jam. They just don't want to tell nobody this is the shit. They don't give a fuck what nobody said. It's got the Eagles logo on a Rod Stewart song. The Eagles logo on a Rod Stewart song combined has to be one of the gayest combinations on the planet. You know? Like, if the Eagle was blowing another Eagle or something, that would be even worse, I'd imagine. But I imagine that's what the Eagles thinking of doing because it's a fucking Eagles logo. But, I gotta tell you, like, a couple things, because I listened to two of their shows today. Number one, Eric has gotten a million times better. I used to call Eric the worst podcast host of all time, in podcast history. Because, I mean, the dead air, the, like, talking in circles, the never getting to a point, the fucking, his call dropping off, like, just the mayhem that would happen during Eric's shows were just, like, comically bad. David Russell took worst podcast host of all time honors from Eric. But since then, Eric's been doing, you know, the Bullshit Eagle show, which I'll never listen to, but, you know, he's getting some reps in. And I gotta tell you, like, he stepped up big fucking time, and he's forming sentences, and he's sounding like, you know, he has an opinion on things. Yeah, I don't even know if this is coming off as a compliment, but I'm intending it as a compliment. He's a million times better than what he was before, which I honestly, there was a point where I didn't think he'd ever get better. So I'll give him a lot of credit for that. Jeremy too. Jeremy, you know, he was one of those dudes that, like, you know, he's my boy. He would come on the show and he'd tell me about an IWA show, and I feel like he was just didn't really have, like, a comfort in the podcasting. And the dude, like, teaches public speaking, so I was always expecting, like, man, this dude's gonna come on and just fucking just kill it. And it just felt like, I don't know if it was just new and it was just strange, and it just didn't seem like he was that comfortable. But on this show, the two of them gel well together. They're doing like a format where they go on the powerbomb.com or powerbomb TV or whatever the fuck it is, you know, subscription service with the indie shows on it. And they watch a random show, like they figure out what show they're going to watch. The two of them watch it and they review the show. This was like another level of explaining to me and reminding me of how much I don't like wrestling, because these guys, what they're doing, like, I'm at the point where if Ric Flair was going to fight fucking Jun Kasai in front of my house, there's a good chance I'm not even going to fucking watch it. That's two of my favorite wrestlers ever. And there's a good chance I'm not even going to watch it. I'm so checked out. These guys are saying things like, I don't know anything about any one of these wrestlers, and I'm really excited to learn new wrestlers and find out what's going on over there. I mean, you could hear the passion, the fucking, the intensity, the excitement about learning new wrestlers. I mean, I am so fucking checked out. You could tell me the dopest shit ever. I know all the wrestlers, what they're capable of and all that, and I'm still not watching it. These guys are all in on watching some shit that they have no knowledge of, finding out what's good and fucking following up on that. And then, you know, going in and finding more of those people's matches because they like the last shit they saw. They're way the fuck in. And I know at some point, you know, I was like that as well. And good for them for still having the passion for that. So if you want to hear two guys talk about wrestling, that they're legitimately into it. And they're, you know, they'll turn you on to a lot of new shit. You might not know what they're talking about initially, but they'll give you a good fucking rundown on everything. And you know, they give an honest criticism. They give a star rating after every match. If a guy, like, puts himself over a ton, they give it a David star. No, they don't, but they should. if a guy acts like a big dickhead sometime during the show, I'll give that a David star. I got to give them credit for what they're doing over there. I can't tell you that I'm going to watch and listen to a ton of it because, again, I don't watch wrestling. So their genuine excitement for wrestling is for wrestling fans. That's strangely enough, a wrestling show should cater to wrestling fans. I think that's why I get so much heat and people hate my fucking guts, because, like, wrestling fans tune in and be like, he just called wrestling fans assholes. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? I don't know. I just, like I said, I gotta put them over doing what they're doing. They're going to have to do something with that Rod Stewart song, like come up with some kind of running joke that goes with it. Something. I mean, this shit sounds like an 80s sitcom is about to start. Yeah, I mean, and I'm into all sorts of type of music, man. Like, I don't like death metal or really that much metal or anything like that, which, you know, the majority of the people who are into deathmatch wrestling and the things that I've been into, they're way into that shit. Like, I'll rock fucking motherfucking James Taylor over half of that. And I don't think anybody's even said the words motherfucking James Taylor since maybe someone had a bet on the Niner game in the 80s. You know, that's probably the last time motherfucking James Taylor has ever been said. But, like, I fuck with James Taylor and I fuck with Sean Price. You know what I mean? Like, my music and oh, let's get this out there, too. I fuck with Lady Gaga, man. Shaheen tried to take a shot at me because I was saying, you know, what kind of gay shit that those little fucking the fuck are they called? The fucking waist bags, the fanny packs. Even the name of that shit is homo. Fanny pack. The fucking fanny packs. He was putting that shit over like it was the dopest shit out, right? And little leather fucking. Get the fuck out of here. So he's got this shit, a little cigarette in his fingers, showing a little bag, saying that, you know, anybody that doesn't have these need to step their game. Get the fuck out of here. I mean, to each their own, but so he's got this shit, right? And then TJ and friends guy, right? He goes like, yo, I got the deluxe package or some shit. He's got like a beard tucked in his shit. And he posts a picture. He's straddling a ladder with this little fucking gay bag with a beer stuck in it and shit. Like, there's like utility compartments wrapped around like fucking Batman and like fucking Adam West Batman and shit. Fuck out of here. And he bought that shit with like Marlboro points. And he's got this shit wrapped around. He's like, yo. And they're like, yeah, that's a dope one. The fuck out of here. So I said some shit like, yo, I didn't think this thread could get any gayer until you posted a picture straddling some shit with one of those things on. And Shaheen pops up like, you ain't gonna tell me shit because you fuck with Lady Gaga. It's like, yo, first off, you was supporting some Takeshi 6ix9ine shit. Yeah, I mean, like, oh, yo, that song is dope. You ain't gonna, come on, man. Lady Gaga is fucking dope. I don't give a fuck what you say. If you like that type of music at all, clearly you don't. That's fine. But if you like that type of music at all, you know she's a motherfucking killer. Her voice is through the fucking roof. She's one of the best live performers ever, especially if you hear her shit stripped down fucking acoustic. Her voice is fucking incredible. But, yeah, I mean, you can hate if you want. The bags are still gay as shit, especially if you take a picture straddling some shit in your picture. So I don't give a fuck what you say with your utility belt. Yeah, I mean, stuck full of like one of those fucking vape machines or whatever the fuck you got in your little bag. So shout out to Shaheen, you my dude, but you know what I mean, fuck out of here. Speaking of fuck out of here, pick up a fuck out of here shirt, why not? You know what I mean? Or don't. So I think that's all I got. Check out all my dudes over there at them podcasts that I mentioned, and fuck out of here.
Talk to y'all later. Have a nice night. Stay dry. It's raining again. I'm tired as rain. Makes my grass green. I won't complain about that. That's all I gotta say. I'm out of here.
I love all of y'all and, shit.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
You've been in the gym, bro.
You know why?
DJ Hyde, fuck you.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me.
I'll listen to your podcast and I'll find everything out. You know what I mean?
You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what am I you?
Good. Mike Cheese tells me all the time to listen to what you gotta say because you be blazing people. And I'm like, well, I gotta hear it now.
You just know how to hide. A lot. Me, I don't have that part. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Jesus!
So say good night to the bad guy.
I'm gonna tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no foolishness.